Have you heard of this Nord Stream gas pipeline? It is located on the Russian coast of the Baltic Sea, passes through the Baltic Sea and reaches the German coast. Nord Stream consists of two pipelines. Nord Stream 1 was completed in 2011 and runs from Vyborg in Leningrad, Russia to Lubmin near Greifswald, Germany. Nord Stream 2 was completed in September 2021. It runs from Ust-Luga in Leningrad, Russia to Lubmin, Germany. These twin pipelines are important because they provide energy in the form of natural gas to Europe through Germany. The twin pipelines together can transport up to a total of 110 billion cubic meters of gas in a year to Europe, and that too for an estimated period of at least 50 years. If you look at these two pipelines, they pass through the exclusive economic zones of several countries including Russia, Finland, Sweden, Denmark and Germany. These two pipelines are owned and controlled by a Russian state-controlled energy company called Gazprom. Now, if you're following the news, then you must be knowing that last month, around mid-June, Russia reduced gas supplies to many European countries. These include Germany, France, Netherlands, Poland, Bulgaria, Finland, Denmark, Czech Republic, Austria, Slovakia, etc. And I will tell you in a while why Russia did that. Anyhow, if you go further back, in the first week of March or so, the United States had threatened Russia that they would put sanction on their Nord Stream 2 pipeline. But then the United States was very careful with their sanction. They did not say that they are going to put a ban on the entire pipeline number 2. The US said they would only put sanction on the Russian shipping company that takes care of the pipeline installation in the Baltic seabed. Now, there are two reasons behind it why United States did that. Number 1, the United States did not want to provoke Russia by putting a sanction on the entire project. Otherwise, Russia would have shut off the gas flowing from the number 1 pipeline, and ultimately Russia would have gained leverage on Europe in March itself. So this was the fear as well as the reason number 1 for the United States. Now reason number 2 is that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, that is pipeline number 2, gas is not currently passing through it. It is currently not operational. As I said, it was completed only last September 2021. That means if gas is currently not flowing, it is good for America and Europe. It is also good for Germany because that is the entry point for Europe. And the reason it is good for Europe and America is because that's how the West was planning to dictate terms to Russia, by making Russia obey, otherwise Europe will not buy gas from Russia through the second pipeline. Basically, the United States and Europe thought they would twist Russia's arm and gain leverage on Russia by putting sanction on the number 2 pipeline. It's like a seller is nothing without a customer, similarly a customer is also nothing without a seller. That kind of politics or diplomacy the West was trying to do with Russia. But then see what happened. It's already 5 months into this Russia-Ukraine war. We don't see any end to it. The United States is supplying military equipment and aid continuously to Ukraine and prolonging this war instead of sitting down with Russia and negotiating. Furthermore, the United States is also creating more and more threat perceptions for Russia by extending NATO invitations to Sweden and Finland. That means the West is clearly showing no signs of withdrawal. Similarly, Russia is also not showing any sign of backing off. And I've also said this before in my previous videos, Russia has planned all of this in advance. Now this Russia-Ukraine conflict is going to extend till winter. Wait until winter when Europe starts to freeze while Russia turns off the gas supply. The West thought that they would be able to bully Russia by putting sanctions on Nord Stream 2 pipeline. But Russia kept on playing along and received numerous sanctions and threats. This all will continue till winter, and Russia has already started cutting the gas supply. That is why you will see that Germany is requesting Canada to immediately return the gas turbine, which Germany gave to Canada for repair. I think you may know this, a natural gas power plant requires a gas turbine, which compresses air and mixes it with fuel, most commonly natural gas. Only then it will burn at an extremely high temperature, which creates hot air. This is called combustion. The hot air and fuel mixture moves the blades in the turbine and makes them spin quickly. Due to the fast spinning of the turbine blade, a drive shaft starts to rotate. And that shaft drives a large magnet which is surrounded by coils of copper wire, which creates a powerful magnetic field. And that is how electricity is created. So Russia has given a gas turbine to Germany for using it on the Nord Stream 1 gas pipeline. And Germany gave it to Canada for repair. It is being repaired by Siemens Energy Company. And if you remember, Canada has also put many sanctions on Russia to show their support towards Ukraine. Actually, whatever the United States says, Canada has to follow. So now what happened is that Germany has asked Canada to return the Russian gas turbine as soon as possible. Basically, Canada has to now issue a time-limited and revocable permit. In other words, they're creating an exception and bending their sanction law for sending the Russian gas turbine to Germany. Why? Because Germany has requested them, and it is also because of the European energy crisis. Because Europe is slowly heading towards an energy crisis. And Russia has strictly said to Germany to return our gas turbine, otherwise we will shut off the gas supply from the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. Because Gazprom, the company that operates the Nord Stream plant, came to know that there is an equipment that is missing, and Russia also knows the equipment is in Canada. If you remember in the beginning, I told you that in the mid of June, Russia started reducing the gas supply to Europe. And the reason is because of this. Because Russia knew that the gas turbine is sent to Canada and it wanted back. And obviously the West is not going to listen to Russia, even if Russia asks politely. So what Russia did was, it started reducing gas flow to Germany in mid-June. Now if you read what German politicians are saying, they say that the return of the equipment is not the reason behind Russia lowering the gas supply. German politicians are saying that Russia is taking advantage of the situation and blackmailing Europe to push up prices. Now what you need to understand is that whether the reason is Russia wants the gas turbine from Canada, or Russia wants to push up energy prices, or Russia is servicing and repairing the gas pipeline, how does it make a difference? Why is the West expecting mercy from Russia when they are not giving Russia any room to breathe and constantly threatening NATO's eastern expansion? On top of it, if you read Canada's Minister of Natural Resources, Jonathan Wilkinson, he said, "We are shipping the turbine to Europe for supporting Europe's ability to access reliable and affordable energy as they continue to transition away from Russian oil and gas." Do you see that last line, transition away from Russian oil and gas? Again, let me ask you, do you think Russia is not aware of this? And let's assume for some odd reasons, Russia is not aware of it. Speaking out openly like this, how much of a sense does it make? I have also said this before in one of my videos, look at both the side, that is West and Russia. Both are rigid and adamant. If two superpowers are adamant, then diplomacy is the only way. But then if you're standing in front of a country like this and constantly possessing threats, then what do you expect Russia to do in return? How can you even expect Russia to keep supplying you oil and gas, and that too at an affordable rate, so that you can slowly and easily transition away from Russian oil and gas industry? It's absurd, right? If you see, the West is not able to gain leverage over the Russian economy. Russia has found a market in the East. Recently, the BRICS meeting happened, and the North-South corridor is almost ready. Few more kilometers of tracks need to be laid. In fact, last month, Russia sent first consignment to India through the North-South corridor. I have made a video on the INST corridor and how it will turn out to be an alternative to the Suez Canal route. The link of that video is in the top right corner. So anyhow, Russia has found a market in the East. Regarding Europe, winter is slowly approaching and Europe will start to freeze. And that is when I believe Russia will play its next move. Because these gas pipelines from Russia to Europe will create an economic and political crisis in Europe in the coming winter. To run the European economy, they need electricity, power and energy. Natural gas is used by several high-end industries such as glassmakers, steel manufacturers, who are already facing higher costs and they are slowing the European economy. And one more thing, whenever gas is supplied from Russia, don't you think Russia knows how much of gas is flowing out? How much can the European Union countries fill their storage facilities if Russia cuts the supply? All these things have been already taken into account. And then I'm not saying that Europe is not going to look for alternative. Either they will ask Norway to supply oil and gas, or they will go to Middle Eastern countries. Here's a list of natural gas producing countries in the world. For Norway, it will be a test. The whole world is going to watch how environmental friendly they claim themselves to be, once they have to pump out an extraordinary amount of oil and gas to meet Europe's demand. Australia, US and Canada are on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. Russia, Iran, China, Qatar, Saudi and a few Central Asian countries, they are waiting for that moment when Russia is going to switch off the valve and then the West will approach the Middle East, China and Central Asian countries. And trust me, they are going to dictate terms and ask for higher prices. And then Germany is also making a desperate attempt to restart their coal-fired power plants. Basically, now they are going back on their legislation. But that's alright, desperate times call for desperate measures. So basically, the European climate policy and their focus on renewable energy are all going into drain. Because this Russia-Ukraine crisis is pushing their countries back into fossil fuel. Listen to what German Vice Chancellor Robert Habeck said. He asked his country to reduce gas consumption so that the country can fill its storage tank ahead of the winter. You can imagine how serious this is. And who is prolonging this Russia-Ukraine war? It is the West. They are continuously supplying weapons and money. They are the ones who have put so many sanctions on Russia and literally put a dent in the Russian economy by using Ukraine. On one hand, Russia is facing pressure from Western economic sanctions, and on the other side, Russia is putting stress on Europe and extracting that economic loss. Even still, they don't want to sit and negotiate with Russia. Look at Ukraine's president. I don't know what is he gaining. That country is almost destroyed and Europe is facing energy crisis. And still, he's expressing disappointment towards Canada and urging Canada not to hand over the gas turbine to Russia. Anyhow, Canada, Germany and United States are not going to listen to Ukraine's president. Look at the list of weapons he has got from NATO countries. I mean, Zelensky has become the world's most, I shouldn't say this, but famous beggar. Always asking for money, weapons and whatnot. What he needs to do is surrender and save lives. Ukraine is gone and won't ever return. Even India from day one has been saying to Ukraine to engage in dialogue, negotiation with the Russian Federation. But then we all know who is calling the shots. It's the United States government and European leaders. So the main point to consider here is that if lights go out for Europe during winter, then the downside of that will be industrial cutbacks and shutdowns, which will result in unemployment, high inflation, and possibly a global recession. And believe me, the situation in Europe will be very similar to a country that has been sanctioned, because the ultimate goal of any sanction is to create an economic crisis. And whenever there is an economic crisis, you can see it in history and you can also see it anywhere in the world. There has been regime change. So if Western countries are trying to change the Russian regime by doing all of this, I think this winter we are going to witness a lot of leadership changes in many European countries because of the whole process that I just explained. And by the way, one of the reasons behind Boris Johnson's resignation is also an increase in the cost of living due to tax rise. Because after the Russia-Ukraine war, we all have witnessed that there has been a rise in oil prices and the cost of food has gone up. Almost every country is facing that pinch. What Boris Johnson's government did was, they increased the tax by saying this money will be used to pay for health and social care. Now what happened was, immediately the opposition leader, Keir Starmer, from the Labour Party took advantage and publicly said the government chooses to increase tax on working people. If you see, it is a typical neo-communist move. Although there are other reasons as well, but even tax rise and high cost of living is also a major reason behind Boris Johnson's resignation. So the point is, if this can happen to UK, then it can very well happen to many European countries. So let's wait and see what happens until winter. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.